Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale here in the KRCB studio with Mark Prell.
Hey, good morning. Good evening, Gary. On tonight's show, we'll chat with theater director Brian Glenn Bryson of the Walking Elephant Theater Company about their new show, Bully. We're thrilled to include some of the show's talented cast members, all of whom attend the Santa Rosa Charter School for the Arts. Brian also has some exciting news about the company's previous show, Prop 8 Love Stories, which was aired in its entirety on KRCB just a few months ago. Later, we'll be joined by some of that show's cast members as well. First up, it's Greg Moralia with Outbeat Radio News.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, January 16th, 2011. On Wednesday night this week, a memorial service for the victims of last Saturday's tragic shooting in Tucson, Arizona was held. Daniel Hernandez, the gay intern credited with helping save the life of Representative Gabrielle Giffords, said he appreciates the outpouring of support, but he does not consider himself to be a hero. He said, "Although I appreciate the sentiment, I must reject the word hero, for I am not one." He also said that the victims of the shooting, including Giffords, are the real heroes, the people who dedicated themselves to public service. Hernandez was seated next to President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle during the service that was held at the University of Arizona. Later, the president took the stage and commended the 20-year-old intern. He said, "We are grateful to Daniel Hernandez. I'm sorry, Daniel, that you deny it, but we decided that you are a hero because you ran through the chaos to minister to your boss and tend to her wounds, and you helped keep her alive." And earlier that same day, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer signed an emergency law passed to prevent picketing by the Westboro Baptist Church at the upcoming funeral of the 9-year-old girl killed Saturday in the Tucson shooting rampage that left Congressman Gabrielle Giffords critically wounded. The Arizona House and Senate unanimously passed the law in response to plans from the anti-gay church based in Topeka, Kansas. The law prohibits protests within 300 feet of a funeral or burial service. The Westboro Baptist Church is a notorious, highly offensive anti-gay organization that regularly protests the military funerals of soldiers killed in the line of duty, claiming that their deaths are God's punishment for the nation's tolerance of homosexuality. And in California, this week, Governor Jerry Brown confirmed reports that he would name John Laird, one of the first openly gay men to serve in the state's legislature, as his secretary of the Natural Resource Agency. It was the first of what is expected to be several high-profile LGB appointments by Brown, who took his third oath of office as the state's top official a week ago Monday. Laird is the fifth person to be appointed to a state position in recent weeks. Prior to leaving his office, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger announced that he had selected four openly gay men or lesbian people for state boards and commissions. And on New Year's Eve, he appointed his chief of staff, Susan Kennedy, 50, a Democrat and out lesbian, to a seat on the five-person California Health Benefit Exchange. And California State Assemblyman Tom Amiano expects to introduce a tough anti-bullying bill, one that would be on par with the legislation recently passed in New Jersey that youth advocates call the strongest of its kind. Amiano may introduce a bill nearly identical to New Jersey's within a few weeks in collaboration with Equality California, the state's largest LGBT organization. New Jersey's anti-bullying bill, which was signed into law last week by Republican Governor Chris Christie, mandates that schools have a specific point person to run anti-bullying programs. The law requires, among other provisions, that educators undergo training on the issue. And here locally, the nation's first museum dedicated solely to LGBT history opened Wednesday in San Francisco's historic Castro District. Museum officials said, with two exhibits and hundreds of articles, the GLBT History Museum is the world's second museum dedicated solely to gay and lesbian archives and materials. The only other one is located in Germany. The museum is operated by the GLBT History Society in a 1,600-square-foot space located at 4127 18th Street in San Francisco. And finally, this in memory of Dr. Martin Luther King and Martin Luther King Day tomorrow.
Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yes. I have a dream that one day, yes, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
For information about events coming up here in Sonoma County, be sure to check out www.gaysonoma.com. And if you have an event that you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevale and Mark Prell.
All right, thank you. We've got a packed show for you tonight, as well as a packed studio here. Five young ladies, just a mere fraction of the cast. And Gary's here to talk to them and tell us more.
And one young man.
And one young man. I do apologize. He's behind the monitor. I can't see him. My apologies.
We're going to chat about the new show, Bully. But first, let's have each of the cast members who are here introduce themselves. Please give your age and how long you've been interested in theater.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn, and I've been interested in theater since fourth grade.
Hi, I'm Shannon. I'm 13. I've always been interested in theater.
Hi, I'm Amaya. I'm 11, and I've been interested in theater since I was in preschool.
Hi, I'm Valerie.
I'm 11, and I was interested in theater since I was in first grade.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Motley, and I've been interested in theater since I was in preschool.
Hi, and my name is Brian Bryson, and I'm really old, and I've been interested in theater since I was in preschool.
So, Brian, tell us about what brought you to the Santa Rosa Charter School for the Arts.
Well, I just finished doing Prop 8 Love Stories with that cast. And the arts director at that school heard about that show and asked if I could come and do a show with them. And I said, I'm interested in doing a Bully theater film project. And I told her a little bit about what we do, and she was really excited about it. And then I showed up one day, and there were all these amazing kids there with sparkles in their eyes and ready to create a show with me about bullying.
And how did you, what made you decide to delve into the subject of bullying?
Well, you know, we think about just what happened in Tucson a little while ago, and just all the kind of ignorance and hatred and fear that's out there. And the Walking Elephant Theater Company kind of would like to be an antidote to that fear and hatred and ignorance. And so we wanted to do, kind of take it a step further and open it up to all the different areas where those things exist, you know. So in the show, we interviewed a wide variety of people who there's something maybe a little bit different about them, different from the norm, and who, you know, that can make them a target for bullying. For example, someone interviewed a Muslim woman who wears a headscarf. So a headscarf's kind of a target for bullying. So we believe that empathy can really be helpful in being an antidote to fear and ignorance and hate. Mm. So these guys will be able to tell you about some of the people that they interviewed to kind of help with that empathy.
Great. So let's go down the line once again, and each of you talk about the person that you interviewed and what you learned from the story they had to tell you.
I interviewed a mom and her son named Josh, and he got bullied because he was
Right, he has autism.
He has autism, mm-hmm. And he's 18, and he's a really good magician, and he got bullied in kindergarten for wearing pink boots, and one, he got pushed out of line by a bully at the drinking fountain.
I interviewed Mason. He's gay, and They're just like me and you. There's nothing different between them. And he just got bullied because everybody thought he was different.
Hi. I interviewed Mayor Susan Gorin of Santa Rosa, and I interviewed her about the similarities between bullying in our city and in America and in the world, really. And I learned that there's a lot of similarities. Everything's pretty much the same.
I interviewed Kira Findling, and she has two moms, and that's why she got bullied, because people thought that that was, like, gay people and stuff were different in a bad way, so she got bullied for that.
I interviewed second grade teacher Mrs. Bryson, who was bullied by her teacher when she peed her pants on the bus.
Very good, very good. So, Brian, talk about the creative process. How are you putting the show together?
Right, so we just finished our last interview, and what we did was I set up an interview with each one of the cast members, and we set up an interview with Amaya and the mayor. So the mayor came to the school after school, and then Amaya and the mayor met in one of the classrooms. Amaya had a whole list of questions for her. We videotaped it. The interview was about an hour long. Then what we do is we go back and listen to the interview, and we pick the golden moments, like the four best moments, moments that make you laugh, moments that make you cry, moments that make you think. And then I edit those down into audio files. I email them to Amaya. Then Amaya transcribes them, which she has already done. Maybe we can hear one or two of those. And then she memorizes them. And then what we do that with all the interviews. So then I take all those pieces, I arrange them into a compelling theater piece, and these guys perform it. And sometimes there will be a section that lends itself well to a reenactment. For example, Kat's funny story about the teacher who wet her pants on the bus when she was in grade school. That might lend itself well to a reenactment. So in one corner of the stage, we'll have Kat telling that story, word for word, from the interview. And the rest of the cast in the background will be acting it out. So they'll all be sitting on the bus while one of them portrays the teacher who wets her pants, and then the other kids all screaming and yelling and jumping up in their seats.
So talk a bit about how you conducted the interviews, how you found the people to interview, and how did you record the interviews? Did you film all of them?
Right, yeah. It's largely word of mouth. There were a few people who kind of stepped up who had a lot of connections and who knew a lot of people, and they were really helpful in that. We shot the interviews on videotape and recorded them with an audio recorder, because we're also going to be making a movie out of this whole thing. So not only will we have the actual live performances, but mixed in with that we will have cuts of the actual interviews themselves, as well as one of these days before our final performance, we're going to go into a three-camera TV studio and shoot these guys performing in front of a blue screen. So we'll have live performance, we'll have interviews, and we'll have them performing in front of a blue screen, all of which we can cut together to make a movie. And then we want to take that movie and submit it to film festivals all over the place. So not only will these guys have the fun of being able to perform and get applause and that kind of thing, but they'll also be able to most likely all get together and travel to, like, say, you know, Sonoma County Film Festival in wine country or something, and all together sit and watch themselves up on the big screen performing in the movie. Ooh. So they'll not only get to get applause on stage, but they'll get to sit in the audience and applaud for themselves with the rest of the crowd.
What do you all think about being on the big screen?
I think it seems like fun, and I'm really excited for it.
Same here.
I think it would be really great, and
I think I'd have a lot of fun watching myself and everybody else.
It'd be fun.
I'm excited for my family and friends to be able to see me on the big screen. Yeah.
So we'll go down the line and we'll talk about how, if any of you have experienced bullying yourselves, or if you've witnessed bullying, or if you've been bullied.
I've been bullied. I don't like it. I have been bullied. I try to not do that. And I just hate doing it. It's just, I get out of the habit a lot, and then I have to go back. And then I'm really good at not doing it for the past few months. So, yeah.
And in what way were you bullying someone?
Just saying mean, really bad, mean words. Hmm.
Did you later apologize to
that
person?
Yeah, I always apologize, because after, like, maybe a few minutes, I say sorry.
That's great.
I've been bullied, too. People have bullied me my words at my old school. One of my only friends at my old school was this girl named Anana, and she said that people were calling me trash and throw it behind my back. And sometimes I do have to bully in self-defense, because people at my school and after school program and stuff can get a little bully-like.
I've been bullied and I've been a bully. I've been bullied for no reason. People have just been mean to me. And I've been a bully sometimes, mostly, well, I guess to my brother, which is kind of hard not to be because he's my brother. But, well, he's bullied me too.
How did it feel when you were being bullied?
Not too good, but I probably feel worse when I'm being mean to him. So, yeah.
I have been bullied, and I've been a bully. I've been a bully saying mean things to my friends, not purposely. Afterwards, I feel sorry and kind of scared that they won't want to take me back as their friend. And I've been bullied, people calling me names, and yeah, people teasing me, probably because they're jealous. Yeah.
I've probably been bullied because some people make fun of me. They call me Japanese, but I'm not Japanese. And sometimes people just don't get how it feels to be bullied. So I guess they try to do it more. But if they got bullied, they probably wouldn't like it, so they probably stop. And I don't think I bullied anybody, but like taking some soccer balls away from people. But I just wanted to play and they didn't let me. So it's not my fault.
So now you all have something to read from the play Bully.
Uh-huh.
Please, again, we'll go down the line and just introduce yourself first and talk about the person who's speaking in the text.
Hi, I'm Amaya. I interviewed the mayor, and this monologue is about, she's talking about Reverend James Coffey and how the church burned. So, yeah. Reverend James Coffey was instrumental in starting one of the first Baptist churches in Santa Rosa. And
I think it was in the 1960s, perhaps, or early 70s, started this church in an area of Santa Rosa, and someone burned the church down. They were not happy about African Americans coming together in worship and chose to burn the church down. Okay, this second one is about Muslims. So, yeah. I recently met with a group of Muslim church leaders because of the terrible tragedies that happened in September 11, 2001. People in this, our city, as well as cities across the United States, are sensitive to some of their perceptions or misperceptions of what the Muslim religion, of the Muslim religion and who would be members in that church, thinking they perhaps would be terrorists. The members of the Muslim community are starting mosques here in Santa Rosa. Part of what they've done is they've organized a series of open houses to invite the community in and let the community know who they are and what the Muslim religion is about.
Okay, who would like to go next?
So I asked to Kira, do you feel like our culture is bullying your family? And then Kira said, that's a good way to put it. I think that society and the media is kind of bullying my family, and by showing really unrealistic and bad, like, portrayals of us. And I guess culture, like, with every Yes on 8 ad and every time you see a gay kid get bullied on TV or something, it's even if you believe No on 8 and that gay marriage is right, it's still like putting the image in the back of your head that, oh, they're different in a bad way. And so I think that the way that we're shown in culture is definitely bullying, because it's bullying is essentially just taking out anger on someone for the way they are. So essentially our culture is getting angry and disrespecting us for being the way we are. And I mean, my parents didn't choose to be gay, they just are, and I didn't choose to be born into a gay family with gay parents. I mean, I wouldn't give them up for anything, and I love them, but it's not like I decided to be different, I guess. I'm really proud of it, but society's taking out anger on us for being something we didn't choose to be. We just are. So that's bullying.
Very good.
All right. I interviewed Mason, and this is him talking. I realized I was gay when I was about 5 years old. I know that sounds sort of young, but pretty young. But then I didn't really know what it was. Like, I didn't know what gay was. So, like, when I was 10, that's when I was introduced to what it was. But everybody sort of hated it. So it was like, oh God, hope sure I'm not gay. But, you know, you can't change what you are, you know.
Very nice.
Hi, my name is Catalina Motley. I interviewed second grade teacher Miss Bryson, who was bullied by her teacher when she was in grade school because she peed her pants on the bus. My teacher told me to go to the restroom, and I didn't feel like I had to. Well, I was there at the ice rink, and so I didn't. And then I was on the bus, and about halfway back to school, I felt like I had to go to the restroom, because when you go from a really cold environment and get into an area where it's really warm, sometimes you have to go to the bathroom, and it's hard to wait, and I couldn't hold it. And so I'm sitting on one of those bus seats. Do you ever take the bus? Yeah, so I'm sitting on one of those bus seats, and I couldn't hold it, and there was this girl sitting next to me, and I ended up peeing my pants. And I was sitting there on the seat just really nervous and really scared because I was so embarrassed because I just couldn't wait. And so I'm sitting there and it's starting to come off the seat and I thought I could get away with it with nobody noticing. And then the bus came to a stop, and when the bus stopped, it started rolling. It started moving down, so a whole bunch of kids noticed it, and a bunch of kids started screaming and yelling, and then I tried to say that the water came from inside the seat, because I was really embarrassed, and I didn't want to admit that I'd pee my pants. And so my teacher said in front of the kids, she came to me, she told me not to lie about it, and because I was trying to say that it came from inside the seat, so the kids were really, they were bullying me because they saw that an adult was not treating me very nicely and was being mean to me, so they felt like it was okay for them to do it to me.
Very good. Great job, all of you. We're going to take a little break now. Mark is going to give a shot at the arts and entertainment calendar for February.
Thanks, Gary. I'm Mark Prell with this month's arts and entertainment calendar covering artists who are out in the arts. It'll be a Valentine's night for jazz hotties of all stripes as Mark Hustis presents a Victor Victoria Valentine, a loving tribute to Academy Award nominee Leslie Ann Warren, live in person at San Francisco's historic Castro Theater, 429 Castro Street at Market. The gala event occurs Valentine's Day, Monday, February 14th, beginning at 6 with a meet-and-greet reception with the star, followed by a gala main event starting at 8. Golden Globe winner Leslie Ann Warren takes to the Castro stage, queried by Divalicious Miss Coco Peru, as she reveals her Victor Victoria secrets and more as she discusses her illustrious career. It'll be fun aplenty for everyone and a lovely night to remember from a star that truly shines. Mark Hustis presents a Victor Victoria Valentine with tribute to star Leslie Ann Warren live in person. Tickets start at just $25 for the general gala admission. $60 gets you the gold VIP pre-show with a meet and greet with Leslie Ann Warren and reserved center row orchestra seats to the gala beginning at 8. Ticket information at Ticketfly.com or by calling 415-863-0611. Sponsored by the Galleria Park Hotel, Joie de Vivre Hospitality, and Twin Peaks Tavern. A little closer to home, critically acclaimed musical theater singer and cabaret artist Craig Jessup stars in his cabaret show Funny Valentine, performing songs about love by the Gershwins, Rodgers and Hart, and Stephen Sondheim. Songs by these musical giants rank among the wittiest and most romantic and most inspired writings in the Great American Songbook. Jessup will be joined on stage by musical director and accompanist Ken Muir. Don't miss Craig Jessup in Funny Valentine one night only, Sunday, February 13th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at 142 Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. Tickets start at $25 general, $35 reserved. You can get more information at 142throckmortontheater.org or by calling 415-383-9600. You can get more information on Craig as well on his website, craigjessup.com. Even closer to home, the Raven Players offer its next play, Doubt, a Parable. The Pulitzer Prize-winning drama by John Patrick Stanley, who based this parable in a Catholic school in the 1960s, focusing on the topic of doubt, framed in the conflict between an old-school nun confronting a charismatic and popular young priest. This gripping story of suspicion cast on a priest's behavior is less about scandal than it is about the fascinatingly nuanced question about moral certainty. Blunt yet subtle, manipulative yet full of empathy for all sides. It opens Friday, January 21st, followed by an audience participation discussion on the themes presented in the play. Performances continue on the 22nd, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th, as well as weekends in February. Sunday performances on the 30th and in February 13th begin at 2 p.m., although the performances begin at 8. Doors open 1/2 hour before curtain. Spoiler alert, there will be no intermission. But enjoy Doubt, a Parable, playing at the Raven Performing Arts Theater in Healdsburg, starring Raven veteran actor Rebecca Allington as school principal Sister Aloysius. Opposite Allington, Sonoma County actor Peter Warden plays Father Flynn. We've last seen Peter Warden on stage at the Raven in Our Town. Other featured actors include Katie Kelly and Sumi Narendran. Tickets available online at ravenplayers.org or in advance at Copperfields Books in Healdsburg. Tickets start at $20, with students and seniors just $15. There'll be a special performance Thursday, January 27th, with all seats at just $12. More information at 707-433-6335 or visit their website, ravenplayers.org. Finally, in February, even closer to home, the trans band Coyote Grace bring their unique blend of country and Americana music to the Church of the Oaks, Saturday, February 12th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. Refreshments will be provided. Their performance is a benefit fundraiser for the third annual Coming Together Sonoma County, a sober convention sponsored by the LGBT Fellowship of Sonoma County AA with Al-Anon participation. Tickets just $15 in advance, $20 at the door. The Church of the Oaks is located at the corner of West Sierra and Page Streets in Cotati. For more information, call Scott at 415-309-6275 or visit the website comingtogethersonoma.org. And that's the Arts and Entertainment calendar covering artists who are out in the arts. I'm Mark Prell. Now let's get back to Gary Carnevale. You're listening to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts.
Great job, Mark. Thank you for listening. We're here. This is Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. We'll get right back with the casts of Bully and Prop 8 Love Stories. But first, let's take a little musical break. Here's local artist Amy Myers with January Days from her CD, Lucky.
Just another day of January rain, and the summer sun's 100 more of these away. So I'm turning up the heat and turning down the cold, 'cause the winter air is quick to get into your bones. And it's just another January day. January days. Oh, rain and rain and rain. January days. Oh, rain and rain and rain. And it's just another January day. It's just another day of January gray, and I try to see the sun, but the clouds are in my way. So I'm pulling down the shades and flipping on the lights, 'cause the winter afternoon will soon fade into night. Just another January day. A January day. Oh, shades and shades of gray.
That's local Sonoma County artist Amy Myers off her release, Lucky. That track is called January Days. You're listening to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts on KRCB Public Radio, where local support comes from our members and from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of parents, family, and friends of lesbians, gays, transgender, and intersex persons. The Santa Rosa support group meets 7:30 on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 866-350-2462 or on the web at pflag-nb.org. We'd like to welcome back Gary Cannavale and cast members from the, the Prop 8 Love Stories, I believe, is what we're looking at this time around. Is that right, Gary?
It is. We're going to chat a bit more about Bully, and then we'll chat about Prop 8 Love Stories. Brian has some big news. So for those of you who are just joining us, will you please introduce yourselves and give your ages and where you go to school?
I'm Olivia Henry. I'm age 13, and I go to Petaluma Junior High School.
I'm Kaylee Austin. I'm 12 years old, and I go to a Live Oak Charter School.
And talk a bit about Prop 8 Love Stories, about your experiences, and how you felt about being in the show.
And who you interviewed?
I interviewed Phyllis Lyon, and it was really fun to see like a whole bunch of new people and a whole bunch of old people that you've done plays with or you have no idea who they are. And it's, like, so much fun to do a totally new thing with them because, like, you make a whole bunch of new friends.
I interviewed Sally Miller Gearhart, who fought alongside Harvey Milk trying to defeat Prop 6, and they succeeded. And Prop 6 was when they were trying to ban gays and lesbians from teaching in public schools. And yeah, and she was the first openly gay university
tenured,
professor.
Right, tenured.
Yes.
Yeah, university professor. And these guys actually have a great little scene that illustrates that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, Olivia. Would you like to go first?
At one point, I was called to the office of the president of the Christian college that I was teaching at in Texas, and he sat behind a desk that had behind him a picture of Solomon's head of Christ. And the president, he said to me, Dr. Gearhart, I hate to ask you this question. But it's absolutely essential that I know.
Are you a homosexual?
And I said,
no!
No! And the head of Christ went, just like that, right at me, you know? So it was real clear what my Savior Jesus was saying. You had just lied, girl, you really had.
You have just lied, girl, you really have.
That's great. Great job. Kira, would you like to do your bit?
Oh, Kaylee.
Kaylee, I'm sorry.
Right, it's a scene. And do you guys want to set that up a little bit? Like, Kaylee, do you want to let these guys know who Phyllis Lyon is?
She was the first openly woman to legally be married in San Francisco.
Right, in the United States,
yes.
Actually, yeah. But she was married in San Francisco, that's right. Yeah, and then what about her partner, Del?
Del. She was Phyllis's partner, and she died in
2008.
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah, and so this scene, because Phyllis and Del were married, they were writers together. They wrote the book, Lesbian Woman?
Lesbian Woman.
Right, and then Sally helped them edit the book. And so this little scene is kind of about their relationship, Phyllis and Sally.
Yeah.
They were all working on Lesbian Woman. Writing that book, which was such a classic and, you know, broke new and wonderful ground.
I asked my boss if I could get 2 weeks off because Del and I, we wanted to go. We had a cabin up by Jenner, up by Guerneville, and we wanted to go up there and write a book. So he said, why don't you take a month? So we did, and we each took our typewriter. She used a manual. I had an electric. And we went up to our little cabin for a month. And when one of us ran out of whatever, we'd switch, and so on. And at the end of the month, we came up with a document what do you call it?
A manuscript?
Manuscript, thank you. And then we gave it to Sally, because Sally was a university...
English teacher.
English teacher professor. So we figured she could catch all the goofs and so on. And you went through it, and you didn't make a lot of changes. As I recall, the most things you did, you took out all the exclamation points.
I did.
And we had a lot of them.
That's right.
We put them all back afterwards.
You sure did.
Anyhow.
And I collected my first paycheck in San Francisco from Phyllis and Dell for that work. $350.
We paid you?
You paid me, yes.
My God.
Yeah, I should have kept the check.
So I just heard that, or saw on the news that the outfits that the couple wore when getting married are now part of the LGBT museum in San Francisco.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. They're pantsuits.
They're pantsuits.
Right. Pink and purple, maybe.
Blue and like a peach color.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, you've seen lots of pictures. Yeah. Right. So what was it like meeting two such important women?
It was so nice to be, like, in that presence. Like, they had so much, like, knowledge you could tell just by the way they talked. And they were so fun to be around. Like, they brought such a great sense of humor. And together, they were so dynamic together. Like, even though they hadn't seen each other in, like, forever, this was, like, they were good friends for a while. And then, like, they kind of got out of touch. And they just finally, like... This was when they met for the interview, and they just had, like, this instant connection. It was amazing to see their friendship, and it was a great time. It was so much fun.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
So, Kaylee, talk about how many performances that you and your cast members did. Prop 8 Love Stories?
A lot. We started out with we were supposed to be doing 8, and then it turned out to get so popular that we just kept doing more and more and more until it turned out to be like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And somewhere around there.
And what happened during one of those last performances?
Olivia was not there. And she wasn't able to do her lines, so I ended up doing my part and her part.
Oh. But what else happened? Didn't something big happen while you were performing in San Francisco?
Wasn't Prop 8 overturned?
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
Prop 8 was overturned during our San Francisco performance at the...
New Conservatory.
Yeah.
So who wants to talk about the big news about Prop 8 Love Stories going on the road?
So this summer we're planning. Are you talking about this summer? This summer we're planning on going and performing in New York City. We're so excited. Are we going 8 performances, Brian?
That's right. Mm-hmm. 8 performances. A 2-week off Broadway run in New York City. Prop 8 Love Stories this summer. Yeah, it just really took off. It really. I mean, so many people after the show would just come up to us, you know, like came up to me and would grab me by the arm and really squeeze my arm and say, "This show has legs." Mm. I mean, smart people. So we just started getting invited to do it all over the place. We went to Monterio. We did it at the Glaser Center. We went to San Francisco at the New Conservatory Theater. Then we did it at the Magic Theater, Fort Mason Center. Sold the whole place out in 1 week.
Wow.
It's just been phenomenal and a great thing. And it really, you know, it really is. This show is an antidote to all that... ignorance and fear and hate, and you know, and this is probably the biggest and greatest thing. One, it's the best theater that I've ever been a part of in my whole life of doing theater, for sure. And people came up to me who had voted yes on 8 and told me that this changed their mind about it. Like, people told me that they, like, one woman. Said she was driving home after the play in the car with her daughter, who I think is like 11 years old, and they started having a conversation about it. The daughter thought one way, she thought the other. Mm. They ended up pulling the car over, crying, hugging, having a full conversation about it. And by the end, the mom said, you know, I was wrong and you were right. And I mean, come on. It just, you know, and in this climate where everyone is just knocking heads, mm-hmm. you know, all the heated argument, everyone's taking their side and digging in. We need something, some kind of remedy, some kind of healing to, and when these kids interview these people, the people really open their hearts to them. And then these guys open their hearts when they portray them mm-hmm. and the audience comes and see that. And it's magic, you know, it is.
It really is magic. And for those, I mean, the buzz in the LGBT community is incredible. And those who missed it certainly have heard from others what a great show it was. And you were saying earlier that it's possible that you'll be performing it again before you go to New York.
That's right. We haven't scheduled those yet, but we'll have to have a couple rehearsals before we head to New York for off Broadway run. and so we're thinking, well, we might as well have a couple of shows too, and also as a fundraiser because we need to raise some money for that. Oh, by the way, if you would like to donate any money to that, you can go to the Walking Elephant Theater. You can just Google Walking Elephant Theater Company. Prop 8 Love Stories or the Walking Elephant Theater Company, the Bully Project, and a bunch of stuff will come up for us. And you can go to our website and scroll down to the bottom and it's all my contact information. And I'll be glad to take your money to help us get to New York.
And we'll get the link or at least the website on Outbeat Radio's website also.
Okay.
So talk about how you're going to make this happen. How are you going to get this very large cast to New York?
On an airplane, and then a hotel there. Yeah, so we're just gonna start raising money like crazy from now until the time we go, and we're gonna fly them all out there. We're gonna get a hotel. It's right there in Chelsea area, and you know, we have some connections with like Philip Seymour Hoffman and. John Patrick Shanley and a bunch of big shots out there, so that's very exciting. And these guys for the Bully Project, they're going to be performing in the middle of March, first at the school, and then at the Glazer Center for a couple performances in the middle of March.
Do you have the dates? You don't have the dates yet?
I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
We're opening at the school on March 18th and 19th, and then at the Glazer Center on March 25th and 26th.
And the school performance is open to the public?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that.
But certainly Glazer Center.
The Glazer Center, yeah, on the 25th and 26th of March for the Bully Theater Film Project. Yeah.
So those of you in the Bully play, talk about how excited you are about doing the show and also being in the film.
Well, I'm excited.
And your name is?
Oh, Valerie. My name's Valerie, and I'm really excited. And the other theater things that I've done, they haven't been a very big deal to me, and they weren't very professional, I would say. Like, everybody's joking around the whole time and not taking anything seriously, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to perform for our parents, and everybody's messing up, and, like, 10 out of 12 people don't have their script memorized, but this seems like a bigger deal because we're going to be performing for other people other than our parents, and this time people are taking it seriously. So, I'm excited.
I'm Amaya. I'm 11. And I'm excited because I'm mostly excited to get the message out to everyone that it's not okay to bully people. Because it makes a huge impact on other people's lives. And I'm just really excited. Yeah.
What was something especially great about Amaya's interview with the mayor is the mayor just did a wonderful job of connecting playground bullying with bullying in Santa Rosa City, in America as a country, and bullying on a global level with banks bullying each other. And also she talked about how she was bullied in her election by
her people. Opponent.
So, right, yeah. So, and Amaya's going to be portraying some of those great moments in the play.
So you can all talk about how you go about really becoming the person you interviewed and your creative process.
That'll probably have to be more for the Prop 8 love stories gals, because they've done it when and these guys have just barely transcribed their interviews. So what was your process?
Well, I'm Olivia, and my process was mostly, like, once we got the audio tapes after taking the interview, was transcribing it and then listening to it all the time. And the person I portrayed had a Texas accent, and so I kind of had to dive into that and get that Texas accent down. And then I started, as I was learning the part and, like, we ended our tour and stuff, I started talking a little bit with that Texas accent normally in my other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of starts to become your life. Not in, like, a psycho way, but, mm-hmm. like, it, you love it. And, like, every time, like, I would talk to my mom and we'd, like, get in conversations and then, like, we'd say something and it, like, sounded like one of the lines from the play and we would just be like, oh, and then we'd start, like, reciting the play and it was just, like, an awesome thing to be a part of and it just, like, had so many connections to everything. Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that, Kaylee?
Well...
I mean, as far as, like, getting down the vocal rhythms and the physical mannerisms?
The vocal rhythms? Well, Phyllis had a very scratchy throat because I think she had, like, a little bit of a sore throat. So my mom would kind of make jokes about it because she sounds exactly like my grandma. So she would say, oh, are you listening to your grandma on your iPod? And I'd be like, no. I'd be listening to Phyllis, and she'd be like, oh. Because, like, I have a whole bunch of stuff of my grandma talking because she was helping me learn the lines for Phyllis. So she'd, like, recite Sally's lines, and then I'd speak. But, like, once my grandma was coming over and we were picking her up at the airport, and she had no idea. And we were picking her up. And she was just wondering what I was listening to. And she was just like, oh, what are you listening to? And I was just like, oh, an interview for my play. And she was just like, ooh, I want to help you with that. So she helped me, and it really helped.
Getting those vocal rhythms?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, that's the way they would do it. They really, and that's what the Bully Project kids are going to be doing soon, too, is doing their best to take on, to hear the voice like song and to practice it like a song. So the monologue that we'll say or the scene that they'll practice it like one would practice singing a song. And then the same is true for the way their physical mannerisms. They study that like one would study a dance and rehearse it like one would study a dance. And then when it comes on stage, these guys already have the heart for it. So you take the heart and you put it in with that song and that dance, and it's just so powerful. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you take the wisdom of the people that they interviewed. You've got that, which is interesting on its own, but then you've got these guys who make it their own, who internalize that and then express it in their way. It just, you know, everyone in the audience just kind of, it's like this communal experience, and everyone in the audience can just kind of feel themselves levitating all together. And, yeah, it's powerful stuff.
So give us those dates one more time and the website and how people can help. How they can see the Bully and how they can help get the cast of Prop 8 Love Stories to New York.
Okay. Well, first, the Bully Theater Film Project will be performing at the Glazer Center on March 25th and 26th. And the Glazer Center is in downtown Santa Rosa. We are the Walking Elephant Theater Company, and you can find us by Googling the Walking Elephant Theater Company. The Prop 8 Love Stories, or the Walking Elephant Theater Company, the Bully Project. What was the other thing? What else did you want me to answer? If you scroll down to the bottom of the website, write the money. Can't forget the money. If they scroll down to the bottom of the website, they can get my information to find out about how to make a donation to help get Prop 8 Love Stories to New York for our 2-week off-Broadway run.
Great. Well, we want to thank all of you for joining us. Best of luck with both shows, both endeavors. Please keep us posted. Next week, Sunday, January 23rd, Jeff Basham and Greg Maraglia will be here to host Outbeat Now. We'll be back Sunday, February 20th, for another edition of Outbeat Collage, where we'll speak with author, educator, and fellow Outbeat radio host Greg Malaga about his book, American Heroes, coming out from behind the badge, and his group that helps public safety professionals come out and or serve openly. Catherine Jurek, Fred Lauer, and Michael Wills will also join us to chat about LGBT square dancing with the Redwood Rainbows Dance Club. Thank you for listening to Outbeat Radio and KRCB Radio. We leave you with Ruben Butchart and a noble scar from his Golden Boy disc.
Ruben Butchart off his album Golden Boy. It's a track called Noble Scar. You've been listening to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts, a production of Outbeat Media and KRCB Public Radio.